all over the country.
Oh, really? Doing models?
And did
and
big jobs. We'd load up a box truck and roll out of here with all equipment and go on site and be there for months.
Wow.
Sometimes.
So you would always do miniatures?
No, I just did the casting operation for the museum operation then,
okay.
Which was making hardware for the mounting systems. We made iron hardware, and so I was part of the home base. Then everybody else would go on the road and go on site, and then we'd ship, I'd cast the hardware and finish it, and then ship it to them. As they needed it, and they'd tell me what they needed, and then I'd cast it. I ran a wax shop to make wax models. That way we could make a whole bunch of them at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason that we cast them instead of just making them. We'd make one master, and then use it to make a mold. Then we cut the mold open, and then strap it back together and get a wax pot and inject wax into it. Then open it up, and that way we could get a whole bunch of wax models, and then we mount them all up so that they can be put in a mold, get that all set, and then we mix up plaster and pour in there and let that harden, and then we melt the wax out and put them in a real hot oven to get to burn up all the dye and any residue, and then we'd take them in there and we have a centrifuge in there. We'd take it in there. It would have a little clay crucible and a counterweight on it. We'd set the mold there and put the little bronze beads in there, melt it with a torch and get it all clean and ready to go. And then it had a pin in it. You wind it up. And then once you're ready to cast it, you slide the crucible. It has a little hole in the end so that the molten metal can come out of it, and it lines up with the hole where you're casting into the mold.
Mm.
Then when you let this thing loose, it spins around and it throws the metal up in there, and then the centrifugal force keeps the metal up in there until it cools off enough that it starts to get solid. Then we take them out and let them cool off, and then bust them open, and then we have our cast pieces.
Okay.
And I could do a certain amount of weight in each one. So that way we can make a whole lot of pieces at once. And so it was an interesting process.
Yeah.
But I ended up just working here. I was working for a packing plant doing making printing plates. And then I lost that job. I got laid off. So I had been offered a job here one time before and had turned it down because I was already working somewhere else. But then when that left, I come here and I told the guy, well, if we still got an opening here, then I'm ready. So that's how I ended up here. I've been here, probably almost 20 years now.
Wow.
We stopped doing museum work, 5-6 years ago because Bradley and Carol, their children had children, they have grandkids, and they'd be on the road 9 months out of the year, and they got tired of traveling all the time. And so once we got out of that, we've been just freelancing.
Mm-hmm.
I was fiddling around with several ideas. I was making some copper jewelry for a while. I managed to sell a little bit of it. It's hard to make a living doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I'm just a poultry farmer, and I'm just trying to get an egg operation going.
Okay.
And I'm retired on a Social Security disability. I hurt my back years ago, and so I have some physical problems and things that I used to do that I can't do anymore,
mm-hmm.
like climbing ladders and getting on scaffolds. Sometimes I can lose my balance and fall down. And
that's not good.
No. So I just... I do stuff around here, in the summer, mow grass, and I process a lot of this wood,
mm-hmm.
and just try to keep this and taking care of the birds.
Yeah. Well, why don't you introduce yourself
and, you know, tell me your name and when you were born and where you were born.
Okay. My name is Benjamin D. Snyder, Benjamin David Snyder, and I am 60 years old. I'll be 61 in May, and I was born in Weirton at the Weirton General Hospital in 1957. I went to school at Colliers Elementary School, and then went to the Fallensby Middle School, mm-hmm. and the Brook High School in Brook County.
Okay.
And then right after high school, I went in the Army for a while. I was in the Army for 5 years. Actually, I did a 3-year enlistment. I went in the Army. I was only 19 years old. That was in 76. And I did 3 years, and then I re-enlisted for 4 more years. And then I had some issues and got disgusted, and I ended up getting kicked out. So I pulled 2 years of my enlistment, and then they threw me out. If I'd have been a little older, I could have had a little different, could have handled things a little differently. Mm-hmm. I had some legitimate issues, but mm-hmm. anyway, I got out of there, and I actually went to school on VA benefits for a while, and for refrigeration and heating, mm-hmm. which was at West Virginia Northern Community College. And I worked in that field for a while doing automotive air conditioning and stuff. But then all the regulations started coming out about the Freon and the refrigerants. And, you know, it just started getting more and more difficult to be in that line of work. Mm-hmm. And so I did construction work for a while. I did a lot of different things just over the years. And
yeah.
For a while, I worked for some people building houses and townhouses down in Loudoun County and Fairfax County, and mm-hmm. and then I got out of that, and then I went to work for a company doing heating and air conditioning, doing ductwork, putting up ductwork.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for a couple of years. Then I went to this place to do the printing plates. I worked in between. I worked on cars for a while as a mechanic. I worked at several auto shops. I worked at Montgomery Ward's and Kmart and a couple other shops. And
back when they had auto shops?
Yeah, back whenever cars were actually, you could actually work on them even.
Okay.
Nowadays, you can't do anything practically but hook a computer to them.
Yeah. So did you always, or were you always interested in making things?
My dad worked in the steel mill, in the Weirton Steel,
mm-hmm.
and he was real good at, he did machine work in his basement and stuff whenever I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was always real good with his hands. He built some walnut cabinets and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and he did mechanical work. He was pretty well educated. He couldn't get in a real good position in the steel mill because he didn't have a high school diploma. Because he had an illness whenever he was a young kid and spent time in the hospital. And so he never got to graduate from high school. So he could have been a die maker in the steel mill, but he couldn't because he didn't have his high school diploma. So he was capable of a lot more than he just couldn't, they wouldn't let him into that position because of his education. But he was a pretty sharp character.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot of stuff from him because I tooled around with him when I was a kid a lot, working on cars and stuff like that. He used to come home from work and go down in the basement, and he had a couple metal lathes down there, and he knew how to weld. So he did repair work for people on things, welding and machine work. And so when I was a young kid, I watched him run the lathe. He'd work sometimes till 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
doing machine work, and he did a lot of stuff. He built his own house pretty much by himself, and so he was a pretty accomplished man back in the day. But he's always had the handicap. He had a bad hip. He had this osteomyelitis, which is a infection of the bone marrow, and by the time, you know, back then in the 40s, by the time they found out what actually was wrong with him, his hip, there was nothing left of his hip. So he had like 3 artificial hips over the years, and finally got to where he just couldn't even walk anymore, and he ended up having to go to a care home, and he's not with us anymore. My mom was just a housewife. She never worked. I have 3 sisters, 1 older and 2 younger. And my mother just never worked. She never had a job that I ever knew, except for before they were married. She was perfectly content with just being a housewife. And that's all she did. She got up early in the morning and made my dad's lunch and breakfast, and got him off to work, and got us up, had our breakfast and our lunch packed, and got us off to school every day, and never complained. That's just what she wanted to do. She wasn't interested in anything else. That suited her fine, and her kitchen was her laboratory. And she was real good cook and knew how to bake. And on holidays like Christmas and Thanksgiving, she'd go to work in the kitchen. She'd bake like a dozen pies and, you know, 20 dozen cookies and all kinds of stuff. So it was it was a big deal. So we lived kind of out in the country a little bit, outside of Colliers. My dad had about 3.5 acres of property.
What are some of the first things you remember making yourself?
Oh, Lordy. Let's see here. When I must have been 14 years old. Before then, I didn't really quite have the together enough to really make anything. Then when I was about 14, I liked reading the Popular Mechanics. And my dad had a subscription to them, and I was always reading them, and I found a blueprint in there for a dragster bicycle that was made out of conduit. And it was a bicycle that you sat in, and the pedals were out in front of you. You know, and so we got in the basement, and we drew the lines on the concrete floor with a piece of chalk and then made a little bender so that we could bend the conduit. And we bend it a little bit and get it mashed up and then weld it all together. And that was about the first real serious project that I got into. Then by that time, I started getting interested in the cars. And then after I got out of the Army, I got into building this car. Had my little hot rod. I was 20 years old, and I was into building the hot rod. I fiddled with that for a while, and it just slowly just started doing this and that. Sometimes it was just a way of just whatever I could, however kind of job I could find. My first job, actually, right out of high school, was doing shingles on roofs. And I did that for a while, and then I worked in a stamping mill for a while that made these little steel shelves. I ran a press. And so I just kind of went from one thing to the other, and ended up having a pretty long resume of different things that I'd done over the years. Yeah. Then I just got to a certain point where I was like, I'll try anything once. And but really, I really broke into doing a lot of this when I came to work for Bradley, because, you know, doing the museum work, we had a whole lot of different mediums of stuff that you know, fabrics, glues, paints, metal, wood, mm-hmm. you know, a whole lot of different mediums and different things that, and we always had side projects. There's a few of them over there that Bradley had done. We had done, if you want to look at this board, sure, I'll show you this. Is some of the stuff that we used to do. This was a fountain that was modeled after these lotus plant.
Wow.
And then water would come out of there. It was made out of some of this.
Uh-huh.
There's a picture of it
there.
Oh,
that's beautiful.
So that was done here. And there's a bunch of other stuff that Bradley used to do. We did a good bit of iron work. I've made a couple signs
mm-hmm.
for people downtown here, which they're gone. There's a clown that Bradley made that's for Barnum and Bailey corporate offices, and it's holding up a glass tabletop.
Oh, yeah.
That was made out of wood and carved and painted.
Wow.
There's our giant catfish and a 9-foot tall marionette.
What's that for?
These are for a children's theater that we do in the summertime.
Oh, cool.
And we've got a little outdoor theater down here.
Nice.
And this timber frame structure. And these marionettes are 9 foot tall, somebody stands up here and operates them. It takes three people to operate them.
Wow.
And the heads, Bradley made the heads, they have radio controlled servos in them so that the eyes open and close, the eyelids, and the eyes can move back and forth, and the jaw goes up and down, and then we'd have somebody operating the thing. So this is all that was for the children's theater, and a bunch of kids come here and they write their own skits. They come here for about every day for about a week.
Uh-huh.
They make their own props and costumes. They write their own skits and they get it all mapped out.
Cool.
And then we have showtime, and that's a giant catfish that is it's actually hanging in the other room in there. I'll show it to you before you go. And a whole bunch of different stuff that, you know, and somebody would come here
versatile.
And say, Bradley, can you do this?
Wow.
And then, is this yours?
Oh, yep. My earbuds. Thanks.
So it kind of was, it's like catching a bug.
Yeah, right.
And then I just get into more and more things, and then I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that.
when did you start on that miniature scene?
Oh, I think it's been 3 or 4 years ago. Now that I was, it was about the last time that I was doing any of that.
Uh-huh.
And then some of this other stuff that, you know, like that little wooden lock in there, it's all operating wooden lock. I got that out of a book.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I got interested in some of the carving and stuff. Just it started out when I made that moon, the man in the moon thing. That was a wedge out of a maple tree that we had to cut down. And I was just looking at it, and it was just a wedge, and it looks like a moon, and I just started carving on it. And it just one thing and then another. You know, I'd get an idea in my head, and I'm like, well, I'll see if I can do this or not. And most times we've had a couple things that ended up that didn't work out, but most of the time it was something we didn't know what to do. We'd do the research and figure out how to do it. It's been quite an experience, but it really all hinged on coming to work here,
mm-hmm.
because that really, it just put ideas in my head just right and left, because there was always other projects going on. We've done a bunch of iron railings.
Yeah, yeah.
And just all kind of stuff over the years. We had a penny carnival here one time. That's what that thing is.
Oh, yeah.
So we've done all kind of stuff here. We've had music events here, theater.
Mm-hmm.
We had grill off here one time. One time we had a penny carnival. We had a woman being a fortune teller.
Mm-hmm.
we built this great big box with plexiglass around the front of it. And we caught like six big old black snakes, and we put them in there so that the fortune teller, she was all dressed up, and she sat in this little tent behind this thing with these snakes in it. And me and my friend, we got in there, and we painted all this vegetation stuff on the back side of it and had doors in the back so we could get in there. We put all these snakes in there. There was a couple great big ones and a few smaller ones. And then we had a little shooting range with little slingshots shooting at targets, and we shot dog food, kibble. And just we had a Rube Goldberg like a miniature golf thing, and just all kind of stuff we dreamed up. And we actually had we had done these carnival things that we etched, that were etched. We made a little a piece of paper that would use an inkjet printer and print the design, and they would iron the design onto a piece of brass. Then we'd put it in this copper sulfate with a battery charger and etch it. And I think there's one over here. I'll grab one real quick and I'll show you. So that was another really interesting thing. So we did. We made these things for that. And get them open. So there's
Oh, cool.
So that was etched.
So that was 2011?
Yeah, must have been.
Yeah.
And there was some other ones we made. There's some in here. And there's smaller folly.
Oh, yeah.
That's the frame. That's the timber frame that we have down here.
Nice.
That we have our events. And we had one other one that we did. That I don't see one in here, but we called it a round to it. It was just a round little thing with etched, and it said to it on it.
Oh.
And then when somebody says, I'll do it when I get around to it, then we can give it to them and say, there you go, you got around to it. So it's been quite a trip.
Yeah, right.
Being in this place.
So how did you get into jigsaw puzzle work?
I was looking in these, you know, looking for projects, and I got interested in doing a little bit of carving, and I ordered a couple books, scroll saw books, and got a few patterns out of it. And then I did a few of them, and I have a few other ones that I've a whole bunch of patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had that little wooden car over there. I got some books on that, and I have some other patterns for ones that I've never made, a little stern wheeler boat and an airplane, and I did that for a while, and then I do something else. And,
mm-hmm.
There's been so much stuff that it'd take me a while to remember it all anymore.
Right. And so what do you hope to do with the miniature? Like what are you going to do next, and what's your ultimate?
Right now I don't know if I have time to do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of time doing that, but like I say, I had gone to a couple shows and set this stuff out, but it's really difficult to you
okay.
can't it just takes so much time to do all that.
Uh-huh.
that it's hard to, like I say, people don't want to pay what it actually, and so you can go broke.
Right.
Just spend more time making it than you can possibly get out of it.
Yeah.
I got into the poultry thing, and that's mostly takes all my time anymore.
You must be patient.
Yeah.
To work on this little intricate.
Yes, I have a pretty fair amount of patience. I've learned that over the years. I used to be very impatient.
Yeah.
And then I realized that that's not, that doesn't work for me. So I've learned that here too, mostly being patient, taking my time. Yeah, it's been quite an experience.
Is it, so the miniatures are just something you like to do?
Yeah, I'd do it more now if I had the time. Yeah. And I may get back to it at some point, but I have other projects that I'm working on that I'm working on a kitchen in here.
Mm.
Trying to get the kitchen set up.
Not a miniature kitchen.
No, a real kitchen. And the egg operation.
Uh-huh.
And just trying to get that going and building pens for the birds.
Yeah.
The chicken coop I've got out here was in Carol's sister's property, a couple miles outside of Shepherdstown.
Okay.
She had to get rid of it because for her insurance. It wasn't being used anymore. It was on the property when she got it.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a friend of mine. He said, yeah, she got to get rid of this chicken coop. And I said, well, how big is it? What kind of shape is it in? Because we had a chicken coop up here years ago, but it caught on fire and burnt down.
Uh-huh.
So he went back and looked. He said, that thing's in pretty good shape, and it's got real nice heavy wire on it and everything. So I talked to her, and I said, and I went over there, and I tore it all apart. I got up on the roof, took the tin off, took it all apart, and then my friend, we loaded it onto a flat trailer, and I brought it over here and put it all back together. And it's sitting out there, and then a couple of years ago, I just added that chicken yard onto it.
Okay, yeah.
And then I got a couple other pens I built out here for turkeys and ducks. And
how many birds do you have?
Oh, I've got about 30 chickens. And about 7 turkeys and about 18 ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we butchered a couple turkeys here recently, a couple of Thanksgiving, and
uh-huh.
we had one of them for Thanksgiving dinner.
How was it?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, I bet.
Because it's all, they're mostly free range. I have them locked up right now, but whenever the weather's good, I let them out. They go back in there in the evening, same way with the rest of them. So they run around here all over the place and eat all the bugs and everything. So it makes really good eggs. I'll give you a dozen eggs to take with you.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, yeah, they're good, too.
Thank you.
They're not like grocery store eggs.
Yeah, they're really bright yolk.
And bright yolk and really white whites and a little harder to crack open.
Yeah.
But there's no chemical fertilizers and no antibiotics, no nothing like that. It's all totally natural.
Mm-hmm.
And let the chickens out every morning and lock them up at night.
Nice.
So I'm working on having more.
Yeah.
But I've had some predator problems. I've had a fox coming around here. And just yesterday I had a dog came here and killed some chickens.
Oh, no.
So somebody's dog from around here, a couple dogs that look like a chow mix or something. And
maybe I can take some pictures of your work, and I might even take a little video of you talking through it briefly like you did already. But is there anything else you want to add?
I think that pretty much covers it. I mean, there's, like I say, there's so much stuff that I've done here that it's stuff that I've done, projects that Bradley had come up with, and he'd say, here, this is a project for you. And,
cool.
And then he'd have other stuff he was working on,
mm-hmm.
like making them signs. I made several signs for businesses downtown there, which are no longer there. It's
mm-hmm.
a shame.
Yeah.
But I made signs that were made out of a big slab of cedar. It was all carved out. I made one that was modeled after their business card. And then I scaled it up and drew it on there and carved it out. And I had to do the same thing on both sides. And then the next sign I made, I did the same thing, but I put gold leaf on part of it. So I got a little bit of experience doing that. And so that was nice. But both them businesses are gone. One of them changed their name, and that sign disappeared. And then the other one, the girl stayed in business for a while, and she left. And and we have a few other signs, or we had a few other signs downtown. The Mellow Moods, which just changed hands. We had made the sign for that, and we made the railings that are there. Mm-hmm. And
was that a wooden sign?
It's
trying to remember what it
was. Yeah, it's copper.
Okay.
Some copper sheet and some wood and an iron frame, and I made a hanger for that, and I made a iron hanger for that store called Refinements that has a peacock on the sign. So I did the iron part of that. Okay. And we worked on the railings on some of the gate and the railings over here at the church over there by the post office. Mm. And I had some neighbors that used to be over here, and I modified a horse gate. Bless you. I modified a horse gate for them and hung it up over there. So it's just been a roller coaster.
Yeah, but there's a lot of iron work here because of the historic town. And
yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, we've done tons of railings. There's railings clear down towards D.C. that we've made, and a few other places around here. Anything that was odd or something like that, and people would get a hold of Bradley, can you do this, can you do that? Sometimes he'd say, yeah, we can do that, and then he'd say, man, how in the heck am we gonna do this? I have no idea how to do this. And we'd just see if we could figure it out.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and it's been a pleasure. And
yeah,
I wasn't sure really what to expect. I don't usually get interviewed or stuff like that. This is a first for me.
Cool. Well, I don't think I've interviewed a miniature maker before, so
there's a lot
first for me too.
There's people around here